I'm going to warn you. I feel stirred. I feel very, very stirred. I had an experience with the Lord that I'm not going to talk about now, but ever since that experience, it's just, I mean, it's every day. It just keeps going and going and going and going and going and going and going. God revealed something so important to God that He's sharing it with us. And I want to begin today. I'm going to start, first of all, welcome to everyone in the house and everyone that's viewing. I encourage you to hear the word of the Lord today. I'm going to prophesy through the message. So have an ear to hear. Have an ear to hear. Have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to the body. I've taught around this. I've taught in it. I've taught through this particular passage, and it's out of Romans chapter 12. And I've taught about it and on it and with it and through it many times. But I pray today that you see something, you hear something that awakens, something that needs to wake up on the inside of you, something God wants you to know about something that's a mystery on the inside of you, something that's really important to God. And that's what I feel happened. I know happened with me. I mean, my life has been a journey of seeking and listening to God and for God. But in a moment's time, it feels like you just got saved all over again. And there's something so incredible about seeing something come out of you. You know, I was praying yesterday and just heavy rain. A heavy rain of prayer was just pouring out of me, and I'm before the Lord and I'm seeking God, and I said these words. I said, God, I said, Jesus, show me what I look like in you. Show me what I look like in you. And I'm praying, and I mean, I just, a bit of a holy mess, a humbled mess, and I'm just praying and seeking God, show me what I look like in you. And then I went back and I started studying, and Spirit of the Lord speaking to me, and I'm feeling the presence of the Lord. I can feel the presence of God, and 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 I can feel the presence of God. And I'm praying, and I did something. I walked up and I said, I've never done this before. I walked back to the place where I was praying. I said, Lord, I'm going to update my prayer. I literally said that to the Lord. I'm going to update my prayer. I said, I think I know what I look like in you. Show me what you look like in me. David said to Goliath, he said, we're going to do something here, Goliath, because it doesn't matter what the situation around you really is. It doesn't. You can be around people. Everybody hates you. You spend all your money. You don't know what tomorrow looks like. But I'm going to tell you something. I stopped waiting for Jesus to come back. I did. Now, I'm not going against any scripture. I believe in the glorious coming of the Lord. But I stopped waiting for Jesus to come back because God said something to me. He said, I want you to stop watching for me coming back. I want you to look like me coming back. And so my prayer now is, God, I want to look like you coming back. I'm not waiting, watching for you to come back. I want to look like you coming back. Let's stop waiting and watching for him to come back. Start looking like Jesus coming back. Remember, he said the body is not one member. Man, I thought Matthew was going to preach my message today. The body is not one member. It's many members. And you all look different. You all act different. And God, Jesus, looks different in every single one of you. He looks so much different in every single one of you. He looks different in you than he does me. Because of the endless facets of God's glory. And heaven and everybody else up there wants to see what that glory is, because it makes us alive. It is another revelation of who we are, what Jesus looks like in you. What Jesus looks like in you looks different than what Jesus looks like in me. I've literally seen the Lord twice in my life, looked at him, and every time he looks different. But it's Jesus. I know it's Jesus. And Paul tells us, he said, remember, the body is not one. The body is many members. I'm going to read this in just a minute. I also know when Jesus is coming back. Now, people are going, oh, now no one knows. I didn't say I know the day or the hour, but I know when he's coming back. He's coming back when we split the heavens with our praise. He's coming back when we rent the heavens, every good and perfect thing coming down from the Father of lights. I want to tell you something. Jesus is not coming back for us at any point in time because we're in trouble. As a matter of fact, if you're looking at trouble and you think that's the sign of his coming, you are wrong. I'm just going to tell you right up, straightforward, you're wrong. You're incorrect. He's coming back because something down here looks like him up there. I'm not waiting for him to come back anymore. I'm looking like him coming back. And I know it. Number one question that I get all the time in different ways is, what does the future look like? You know, when you're bearing witness to Jesus coming back, you know, here he is. He's coming back. I look like Jesus coming. Remember what the word says. It says God seeks. God's looking for something. And we not only experience God, we are an experience to God. How many know God is love? That's an experience. How many know the word said, the first thing God said is, love me with all your heart. That's an experience. When you're loving God with all your heart, that's an experience for the Father. When God said, I'm making man in my image and in my likeness, God said, I'm going to make an experience for myself and all of the host of heaven. I'm creating an experience. Let me make an experience. Let me make man look like me and bear my image. And he's going to be an experience to me. If God couldn't feel experience or have the passion of experience, love wouldn't be what love is. He wouldn't have told us to do something and say, it pleases me. Pleases is an experience. If God is pleased with you, he's experiencing something in you, and only you can give him that particular experience. The word says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. It'd be such a great time to say, and no one can take your place. So you may wonder, why am I going through something? The moments, and not only these times, but the moments that you're going through an experience that just is calling, drawing on your faith, something you know I can't do on my own, that's when God is experiencing the uniqueness of you. One of those particular parts of the body that he made you to be. And it pleases God. He likes it. And he likes it for a couple of reasons. Number one, he is able to do what he said. He said, I want to reveal my glory. And throughout the New Testament, we hear Jesus. We hear the Word of God. We hear Paul, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, continuing to talk about God revealing his glory through us. It literally says, the hope of heaven's glory. Now, there's glory in heaven. We know that. The angels, the seraphims, the cherubims look and say, holy, holy, holy. They absolutely do. And they absolutely see different facets of God's glory. But there's glory that you can see as an angel, and there's glory that you can only see by faith. And God said, this faith is the only thing that reaches into the depth of my heart and allows me to experience what pleases me. What pleases me. And all in all, it's so important, and I keep reiterating this, it's so important to put away idolatry. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you look like? Do you know what he looks like in you? Not just what we look like in him. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Do you know that you can taste a tree, that a tree literally has taste and flavor? It's in the tree all along. The DNA is in the tree all along. But you won't taste it in the roots. You won't taste it in the vine. You won't taste it in the branches. You only taste it in the fruit. But it's there all along. It's there all along, or it wouldn't show up on the ends of the branches. A tree has flavor. A tree has aroma. A tree has taste, but you can't taste it. You can't even tell yourself or anyone else what it tastes like until the fruit comes on. Jesus said, my Father is the husbandman. He plants and watches over the garden. He said, I'm the vine. You're the branch that's going to bear the fruit. You're going to display what God's favor is. You're going to display an experience that heaven gets to be a part of. That's why he calls you fearfully and wonderfully made. And do you know why that's so important? Because when you know who you are and not just whose you are, your life is going to change. Biggest question, what does the future look like? Is it going, are things going to turn out? When are all things going to work together for good? They're probably not. As long as it's a question in your mind, instead of the word of the Lord is sure. Yes, and in him, amen. David told Goliath, you and I are going to be an experience for God today. You one experience and me another. But nonetheless, I'm going to have an experience and so are you. You're not going to like yours as much as I do mine. But heaven's going to like us both. Because we're both going to demonstrate an experience, and heaven is going to see God in me working wonders over you. Heaven's going to see you bow your knee whether you want to or not. And when you bow your knee, so is all the host of Israel and all the Philistines are going to bow your knee. You know why? Because David knew who he was. He had a notion as to what God looked like in him. And not just what he looked like in God. And that's what God wants you to know. We're waiting for an experience to happen so we know God is with us. But what God is really waiting for is for you to be the experience so you know what's going on. When is it going to work out? When you know the word of the Lord is yes and amen. And right here, right now, at this moment when my eyes can't see and my hands can't touch, God's doing something incredible that just pleases him. And if God is pleased, heaven is going to rain down every good and perfect thing that you could possibly hope for. And he's going to exceed your expectations by far. When's Jesus coming back? When we put heaven and earth together. That's what he said. He said the plan for the body. See, we talk about being Jesus's own and being his sons and his daughters and being filled with power and the Holy Spirit and we're blessed. But then we talk about how the devil can attack us. Like he had this. You know, the devil had a lot more power in heaven than he ever did on the earth. Did you know that? Satan had more power up there. Up there, he had some influence. Down here, he doesn't have any. It doesn't matter if he's standing right beside you, to be totally honest. It makes no difference. If he's standing right beside you, whispering in your ear, there's no difference than a neighbor saying something in your ear. It just doesn't make any difference. If he could even get that close, if he could even get close enough to you to do it, it just wouldn't make any difference. So if he tells you a lie or your neighbor tells you a lie, what's the difference? And we talk about how much power we have, but we talk about the devil and we talk about government like we're afraid, like you don't know who you are. See, people like David and people like Daniel and people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Paul, these people just they just didn't care what was trying to stop them or what was after them. It just didn't make any difference because it didn't have any influence over them, because they knew no matter what comes my way, God has created me to be an experience to heaven, and the moment that I am, I get to experience God in a way that I don't know him. Exceeding, abundant, and beyond. From glory to glory, from faith to faith, but we run away from that. We ask God to reveal himself, and then when he does, we run away from it because it doesn't feel good. Sure it does. You just don't know who you are and what you are and where are you. Biggest question is, what does the future look like? It looks like you. It looks like you. What if the future could be answered? What if the future looked like? What if the future looked like a question? Because it does. The future looks like a question. What if your future looks like a question? And the determining factor in the outcome of that future is one answer. And it has to come from you. What does your future look like? What does your future look like? See, as a religious group, because we're told that he's coming and we wait for his coming, but it's not that kind of wait like you think. It's like the worship wait, like the serving God wait, like the looking to him wait. I don't see him at a distance. I see. Remember when Jesus was taken up and the disciples are doing what the church do today. They're standing there staring. He said, what are you doing? Why are you staring up here? Go do what I've called you to do. Go walk in the anointing I've called you to walk in. That's what I'm talking about. What does the future look like? What if it could be answered? What if the future really wasn't? What the future was really a question? And you had to answer it. And that determined what it was. And what if that question was, remember the word says that Christ is, his kingdom is to be revealed through those that believe in him. We are called the body of Christ. Do you know what that means? You have to look like the body of Christ. You have to have the attitude of the body of Christ. You have to know that whatever your struggles have been or whatever your challenges are, no one in the world is going to be the experience that you are to God. No one. You're fearfully, you're wonderfully made. You're one of a kind. There isn't another you. We say, well, God duplicates himself. Not really. The minute that God releases another facet of his glory, it looks different than the other one. It's just as glorious. Same God, but a different glory. From glory to glory to glory. And how long will that go on? Forever. It'll never end. It'll never end. Well, no one else is going through what I'm going through, the way I'm going through it, that I know. We try to make ourselves feel special by what we're, how hard it is, you know. No one is in. Like, I mean, they limp this way, but they don't limp this way. You know, they have a pain here, but I have pain here and here. They, you know, they have this much, but I have that much. And David looked at Goliath and he said, you say what you want about me, but I'm going to be the experience and so are you, but at my word. Jesus said one time, about 2,000 years ago, he asked a question, and the question is, who do you say that I am? And some said, well, they said, some say you're Elijah or one of the prophets, Jeremiah, one of the prophets that's come back. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And we know Peter stood up and he said, I know who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. Now, it wasn't the first time and it wasn't the last time that people said that, but Peter said it. And the word says this. It says Jesus looked at Peter, and this is what we're looking for. We are bringing heaven together with the earth. That's what you're about. That's what you're about. This whole thing is all about heaven and earth uniting. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Jesus, God says, the plan. And when God says the plan, that gets my attention. The plan is to unite heaven and earth in Christ. Now, I can't help but believe that if Christ is in me, then I have to look like him. And if Christ is in you, we shouldn't be waiting for him to come. We should look like he's coming. We shouldn't be waiting on his glory, but we need to know. Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" He said, "I know who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God." Jesus says something incredibly profound. He says this. He said, "Flesh and blood, your mind, your senses, your emotions, your eyes didn't tell you who I am, but the Father has revealed this to you." And he says, this is what the church looks like. It looks like you so confident that you can look at God and say, "I know who you are. You are the Son of God." And then Jesus said, that didn't come from you, but it came out of you. It came from the Father, but it came out of you. Do you understand? It came from the Father, but it has to come out of you. It came from God, but it has to come out. And Jesus said, it came from the Father, and it came out of you. And because it did, this is exactly what my body looks like. This is the rock that it's founded on. It came from the Father, but it came out of you. And until it comes out of you, it won't be known. And he said, and because it came out of you, guess what? I'm giving you, check this out, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. When is Jesus coming? When you look like him coming. I've given you the keys to unlock and let it out. Let it open. Let it flow. Let it go. Let it out. I'm giving you. Not waiting. If you're waiting, you'll stay waiting until you die. But when you, and when you're in the presence of God, there's no one around but you. You. You say, "Jesus, I'm you coming." Because you dwell in me, in spirit and in truth and in power. Spirit is an experience. God says, I'm seeking true worshipers. You know what they look like? They look like someone spirit and truth. You know what that means? Full of passion. Fully out, fully on, fully going, fully worshiping me, fully praising me. No bars held, no holding back. They're not afraid, so religiously afraid. The Pharisees taught us well. Taught us how to be religious, how to be afraid. Oh, you can't say that. Oh, you can't cross this line. We'll jump over the line to the next side and say, Christ in me is God's hope of revealing his glory. That's how he did it. That's how he made it. That's what he wants, and that's what's going to happen. You are created to be a one-of-a-kind experience for God himself. And when you are that experience, his glory is revealed, and that's what he said the plan was. That his glory would be revealed when you're standing there and saying, I don't know what's going to happen. And God says, when you can answer correctly, you will know. And then you say, you know what? I know what's going to happen. The glory of God is going to be exposed through me. Heaven's coming down. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back right through me. He's not taking me out. He's raising me up. I don't need to leave this place in order to see God. God said, here's the plan. Did you look like the body of Jesus himself? that you sound like the body of Jesus himself. Every sound is different. In Revelations, God looked like lightning. In Revelations, he sounds like thunder. In Babylon, he looked like a lion. And Daniel looked like the glory of God. And the glory of God shut the mouths of the lion. In the wilderness, Jesus looked like a rock. On Mount Horeb with Moses, he looked like a flame of fire. What does he look like in you? To Elijah, he was a, what'd you say? Oh, still small voice. And in every one of them, God was fully in power. I think I know what I look like in him. But what does he look like in me? Christ in you. Christ in you. What does he feel like in you? What does he sound like in you? See, if you don't know that, then you're not believing him the way he wants you to believe him. And see, the work goes away when you get this understanding. It's so easy to just say, I died when I got born again, and I was raised in the glory of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I don't care what my brain tells me, this is what my faith says, and I'm going to live by what my faith says and not by what my head tells me. I'm going to live by the faith of the Son of God. I look like a facet, a very specific, very unique, very particular, very awesome facet of God's glory. And when you hear me talk, you hear his glory. When you see me coming, you see Jesus coming. I come to you, Paul said. What a bold statement. I come to you in the fullness of the blessing of the Lord Jesus. What happened to those spirits, that passion, that voice, that sound of serenity and yet power? Christ in me, the hope of glory. True worshipers that worship in spirit. You know what that is? Full on passion, praise, no restrictions. I worship you, O God. Spirit. Spirit has far more depth than human emotion. Far more passion than you can imagine. Oh, but how could I be an experience for God? So you're not born of Christ. Is that what you're saying to me? Christ doesn't fully dwell in you. Is that what you're saying to me? So your salvation is yours. Your praise is yours. Your glory is yours. Your honor is yours. I thought the Word said the Holy Spirit would speak through us and reveal things. I thought the Word said that the Holy Spirit seeks the heart of God, and as soon as he finds it, he brings it and he shows it to you and I. Things angels have not seen. You're an experience to God. And he wants you to know it. And he likes it. It's called love. For God so loved. What does that mean? He had such an experience when he called out your name with you that he couldn't let you go without giving you one more chance. If you just call on me, you don't have to make it right because you're such an experience to me. I don't want to let you go. It's not my will that any should perish. And you're an experience different than your mom or your dad or your brother, or your sister, your cousin, your neighbor, your boss, your friend, your enemy. And what you're going through right now is so important to God that He's going to hold your hand every step of the way. And as deep in the well as you want to go, God will give you waters out of that well. The depth of that well will change your mind. And Paul said, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Let's read it. Do not be conformed. I always say, don't be conned into a pattern. And that's what he's talking about. Of this world. What is he saying? Don't let the world tell you. Don't let religion tell you. Don't let churchy churches tell you. Let the Spirit of God tell you. Don't be conformed to the pattern, to the heartbeat, to the wind of this world. Everything that's going on around you, can God trust you today in 2024? Can God trust you not to believe that what you see is reality, but what God says is the real truth? And everything else is a facade. But he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In short, get a revelation. Get a revelation that drops you to your knees. I mean, thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm born again. And I pray that all the time. God, I thank you. But you know what dropped me to my knees is when God said, go back and update your prayer. And I came back and I said, God, I looked out the window to the east and I said, I want to update my prayer. I think I know what I look like in you. I want to know what you look like in me. That's going to make the difference. And when that came out of my mouth, it dropped me in my heart to my knees and on my face. And I knew God just had an experience with me. And it was an experience to me. And in my heart and my mind, it did something different. There's a confidence that the body of Christ walks in, just like David did. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Jacob grabs God and holds on to him. If he had told religious people that he was going to do that, they'd all said, you're a heretic, man. You crossed the line. Do we have anybody in the house that believes you can grab a hold of God and say, bless me, and God say, okay? God doing me a wonder, but until I see it, I'm going to see it by the word you have given me. That's why it's so important to seek the word of God. Make it your floor, make it your ceiling, make it your furniture, make it your bed, make it your pillow, make it your dinner, your lunch, your breakfast, and you'll live by the word, and the word will live through you. I think I know what I look like in you. I look saved. I look redeemed. I look blessed. But what do you look like in me? That's why you made me. He made you so he could look at you and see what he looks like in you. And it pleases him. God made you. The word says in his image and his likeness, and he looked at you and he said, I like it. It's good. That's an experience. God looks at something that he's made, he likes it, he says it's good, and he blesses it. God's having an experience with his creation. If you believe, I want you to say right here, right now, I am an incredible experience for God. He made me that way. I'm not in trouble. I'm an experience. I'm not having it rough. I'm seeing it great. God's not sorry for me. He's not feeling bad for me. He's excited about the experience I am. And when I don't see what's going on and I know who I am, I'm not going to get discouraged because I don't see it. I'm going to do a lot of things that I shouldn't. I'm not going to do a lot of things that I shouldn't do. I'm not going to doubt that God's there. I'm not going to think whether or not I did or didn't do it right. You don't have to do it right. He did. He'll do right through you. You're never going to be the picture someone wants you to be. But you're the image he created you to be. And he likes that. It took me a minute, but I finally learned that I wasn't here to make people me. I thought I had it. I thought I got it. I understand. And you should look like me. And God lovingly tapped my hand and said, no, they shouldn't. Because you're that experience to me. They can't be. You're a unique experience to the Father. And no one should try to change you. God will bring change through you. All you have to know is one thing. Jesus said, who am I? And they said, Peter said, I know who you are. You're the Christ. Now the question is, where am I? Where am I? Where am I? God's waiting for the answer. Where am I? Right here, Lord. When is the coming of Jesus? Don't I look like him coming? Am I not his image? Am I not his likeness? Am I not in the earth? Are you not God in me and through me? Did you not fill me with your spirit and power? Don't I look like Jesus coming? Don't I sound like Jesus coming? Jesus said, stop gazing and go be, go do. We're waiting for something we'll never see until we see what we're waiting for. You look in the mirror and you say, I see Jesus coming. Do you really believe what you said? Or are you double-minded? It is no longer I that lives. How serious are you? Are you a real worshiper? It is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. That's what changes the world. What if the future was a question? And the answer defined the future. And the only way for it to take place was to hear it come out of you. That's the keys to the kingdom that Jesus was talking about to Peter. Here's the keys. They're in your hand. They're in your mouth. You know who I am. Now tell me where I am. Right here, Lord. Right here. I've read about how I look like in you. Now I want to know what you look like in me. God spoke to Mary because he had to actuate the faith. Turn that switch on inside of Mary and say, this is what's going to happen to you, and it's going to sound impossible, and with man it is. But I'm going to show you that I can do something, what I look like in you. A son is going to be born to you without the help of anybody. As God said, Mary went and said, I am blessed, and everybody will call me blessed from this time forward. How about that? I like that attitude. How you doing? Well, you know, I'm going through it. I'm blessed. And not just I'm blessed, but everybody's going to call me blessed from this time forward. Remember, Paul said, a two-souled individual is unstable in all their ways. Let not that person think they'll receive anything of God. We can't keep saying we're filled with him, but we look like the devil. We're filled with him, but we look like the world. We are complete, the word says, in him. And it is no longer I that lives. That's what this means. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's no longer I. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're doing right now. And I like this. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is. His good, pleasing, perfect will. What is God's will? You tell me. Show me. If you're not conned into a form, if you're not conformed to the world, the society, all the politics and the fears and the woes, but you're transformed. I look like Christ coming. I sound like the Word of God. I sound like faith on the move. I sound like the blessing of the Lord. Your mind is renewed. I'm not standing still. I'm walking on the water. I'm hearing the sound of God. People can taste God through me. Jesus said so. He said the Father is the husbandman and Jesus is the root and the branch, or I'm root and the vine, but I'm the branch and off of me comes the fruit. God's kingdom has made me taste like his kingdom. I taste like God. Can God taste? Can God smell? The word says that when Noah got off the ark and the animals got off with him, the word says he made an offering to God and the Lord smelled his offering and it pleased him. God smelled Noah's offering and it pleased him. That means God's having an experience with the heart of Noah. God smelled his offering. Our praise is a sweet smell. It's a savory thing. God did good when he made you for himself. God did good. That's what he said. I did good. This is good. I did good. And it pleases me. And God said, I bless it that it'll always be what I've created it to be. And through Christ, Christ will be revealed. The glory of God's going to be revealed through you being an experience to the Father. How incredible is that? If that doesn't make your day, nothing will. Everything around you that's going to happen, everything that's going to take place, is going to be another revelation, another demonstration of the glory of God's presence. And it just doesn't get any better than that. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, yet God is revealing it through you. And it's not because of who we are, but because God said so. We say it's not who we are, but whose we are, and absolutely yes and amen. But it's who he is within you. He is that revelation of glory. I'm pretty sure I know to some degree what I look like in you, but I want to know what you look like in me. This is the greatest season of your life. Give the Lord praise this morning. Stand with me. We are here to test and prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. What does that mean? Say, I'm here to be an experience. I'm here to be an experience for heaven. Remember, the word says, I've given you the keys, and you are going to unlock it. That's what he said. He said, whatever happens from the earth, heaven's going to respond. You can bind it, it's bound, because you did it from there. God said, I'm leaving you with the keys, okay? Let's stop asking God to unlock. Let's unlock. Let's stop asking what the future is going to be like. And let's be the yes and in him, amen. Remember, the word of the Lord is sure. Sure. We can try something for a minute, but when it's the word of the Lord, it's sure. And it stands strong. And it stands on its own. And it accomplishes what God said. When is it going to get easy? It doesn't get easier than this. When are you going to stop believing so hard? It's so hard. It doesn't get any easier than this. If you be renewed in the spirit of your mind as to how easy it is, everything around you will become easy. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you. You died. The everything that doubted me died. The everything that disobeyed me died. The everything that displeased me died. All that is left is a pleasant experience. All that is left is a pleasant experience. The reason we're doing what we're doing is you're here to bring heaven and earth together. Two, three, be the glue. Be the glue, be the adhesion. That's who you are. That's why you're doing what you're doing. We're here to bring heaven and earth together. We just don't believe like God. We've been believing like man. Let's believe like God. Let's believe like God. That's why God said to Moses, Moses, the Red Sea, it's me. I look terrifying to everyone else, but to you, because my word is in you, raise your staff and watch me part. And I also look like the other side, but I also look like this side, and I also look like the middle of the river, the middle of the sea. But to you, it just shouldn't matter. Because you're in me, but see what I look like in you. Jesus said it like this: I am the vine, you are the branches. You and me, and I in you. What does he look like in you today? Look like praise, looks like a smile, looks like laughter, looks like joy, feels like an experience to heaven. It'll keep you from turning back and walking away. Father, we give you praise for this day. We pull upon the heavens of our God and of his Christ and declare the blessed favor of God to rain down upon each and everyone in this place, those that are viewing on the entire earth. We declare the blessing, the glory, a flood, a deluge of God's glory. Today, a seed was sown. Hear the word of the Lord. Today, a seed was sown. That seed will bear itself. It will make itself known before this month can expire. The seed sown today will make itself known, and you'll taste its fruit before this month expires. The word of the Lord is nigh you, even in your mouth. Before February can expire, sow the seed. Sow the seed of your faith. Sow the seed of your effort. Sow the seed of your strength. Sow the seed of your ideas. Sow the seed of your vision. Get it rolling. Get it moving. Get on it. Bind yourself. Make a pledge. Stand before the stone that doesn't move and doesn't change and say, I'm busy about my Father's business. What God has spoken to me, what God has made a reality in my mind, what I see is a possibility. I'm going to call it a promise. I'm going to start it. I'm going to begin it. I'm going to sow it. I'm going to make it live today. And I'm going to talk about it. Talk about everything you see it doing. The word of the Lord is sure. If the future were a question, and that question would determine the future based on what came out of your mouth, and it had to come out of you, what would you say? What would you say? All things work together. All things are working together for good, because I love God and I am the called according to his purpose. We declare it right now in Jesus' name. We pull upon the heavens of God, and I prophesy to you that everything you have done, every move you have made, every single seed you have sown, every single step you have taken in faith towards what God has put in your heart to do, it will overwhelm you with God's revelation of glory in every facet of your life, leaving nothing untouched. Leaving no ground barren. Every seed productive in you. Every single seed I call it the word of the Lord. I call it yes. I call it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2024 looks like you and me. Glorious, blessed, incredible, amazing, favor. This is the greatest season of your lives. Give the Lord a shout of praise.